So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want you to go with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter, where are we going to go? Chapter 25, I believe. Yep. Genesis chapter 25. We're going to read a few verses there, and we're also going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you, musicians. Hallelujah. The next 21 days are going to be days of focused prayer and fasting. And somebody asked, Pastor, why aren't you asking the whole church to do the Daniel fast? Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, the whole church didn't do it anyway, number one. Number two is that for me, the Daniel fast began to be ritualistic. And I began to look at how ways I could get around it and what I could eat, figure it out. Come on, somebody. And it began to lose its what it was meant to be. Matter of fact, one of the devotions that we're going to do, that the 21 days of devotion that will be we have videoed, will be on our app and also on our Facebook. But one of the ones I'm going to do is talks about a false sense of a manipulative, trying to manipulate God, and that's not what we're doing. We're trying to seek God's face. So the next 21 days, I want you to find something that you desire and make sure that you fast it. You know, I'm not talking about it. For me to fast broccoli is not a fast. I could not eat broccoli for the rest of my life, and I'm fine. Now, for me not to eat sweet, breads, other stuff. You may say, well, Pastor, what else? Well, some people are doing Facebook. Some people are doing social media. Some people, but make sure it means something to you. You know, a couple of these days out of the 21 days, I don't know how long, however the Lord leads me. I'm not trying to say, look how spiritual you or I am. I'm just telling you what God's leading me to. God's leading me to a complete fast on a couple of days. God's leading me on a liquid fast on a few days. But whatever the Lord leads you, make sure that you do that and let God lead you. And let's start this year off right by seeking the face of God and getting God as priority in our lives. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about protecting your future. Protecting your future. Genesis chapter 25, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, you probably ain't going to find it anyway. So the boys grew. And Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. Man, that's dirty, ain't it? I mean, man, you hungry. My brother is hungry, and I'm going to sell him something. I got some food, but I'm going to sell him something. And Esau said, look, I am about to die. Now, I'm not sure if that was really the truth. How many knows that I'm so hungry I could eat an elephant, and you really can't. Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? And then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. I cannot go to Carrabba's and eat lentils and sausage without thinking of this story. Anybody else? Every time I go to Carrabba's, I think of this story because I love lentils and sausage. But man, I'm telling you, as good as it is at Carrabba's, I wouldn't have sold my birthright for it. And then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 just simply reads, but I disciplined my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Father, bless the reading of your word that we may receive it with gladness. And Lord, help us to go into our future with a bright look and help us to protect our future in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. Let me ask you this question. I don't have time to hear the answer, but I want you to answer it for yourself. What is the biggest mistake that you made in your life? And if you're thinking about your spouse, just keep your eyes up here. Do not look to your left or look to your right. What was the biggest mistake you ever made in your life? Because here's the deal, man. We've all made some bad choices. Some have been minor consequences. Others have been major consequences. And others create long-lasting problems and which affect us deeply. I remember a car that I bought. After I bought it about a day and a half, I wished I hadn't bought it, but I knew I couldn't take it back. Matter of fact, I called them to see if I could bring it back. But I knew that I had already made that mistake, and it affected me for the next 36 months. It made a mistake in my life. And it's important to think about why you make the mistakes you do in order to protect your future. Isaac's son, Esau, made a terrible decision that completely changed the course of his life. Esau handed over his birthright for some bread and a bowl of stew. Man, that's crazy, isn't it? When he saw his brother Jacob cooking, he was determined to eat some of this Jacob's food no matter the price. I'm going to tell you what. I know that it doesn't matter how good something is, there is a price to it. I remember my wife makes this chocolate cake that Jim Richmond loves. And back years ago, we had a cake auction. And me and Jim got in a cake auction standoff, and we kept going back and forth because I wanted my wife's cake. It finally got to the point my wife looked at me and she said, "Hey, I can make another one of them." And I said, "Is it ready right now?" "No, it's not. I'm gonna keep bidding." And then I finally let Jim win. But anyway, I mean, it was up to $100 and something or something like that. Jerry's like, "I could make another one, like $6, $7. I don't know. Is it ready? Because I wanted it right then. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm not wanting to wait, go to Walmart, get some more stuff, come back. You got to make it. No, I want it right now. That one's ready. I'm ready to pay the price. But there is a certain limit to how much I want to pay. Now, how often do you sell the wonderful future God has for you for something you think you need right now? We sell stuff every day to the world and to the devil that we think we've got to have right now, and we sell our birthright to God. So I want to give you seven things real quick. Don't get nervous because of the number. I want to give you seven things real quick that help you. Listen, number one, don't sacrifice your future because you're blind of its value. See, Esau didn't really understand his future and his birthright. And some of us don't really realize the value that we have. Listen to me, young lady. Listen to me, young man, that you have a virtue. If you're a virgin, do not sacrifice that just because somebody said they love you. If they like it, then they better put a ring on it. That's when you sacrifice it. That's God's way. Don't sacrifice your future because you're blind to it. David, or Jacob, was a shrewd businessman. He knew that his brother Esau cared more about his stomach than he did his inheritance. And that's what this 21-day fast is a little bit about, that we're saying, God, we care more about you than my flesh. We care more about you than my stomach. You are king of my life, not my stomach, not my desires, not my habits, not those things that I want, not my flesh. You ought to be king of my life, and I'm not going to sacrifice my future because I'm blind to its value. If caught in the right circumstances, Jacob knew that he could easily persuade Esau to sell him the birthright because he didn't value it. Some of us don't value our life. Some of us don't value our mind. Some of us don't value our peace. Some of us don't value our word. Some of us don't value our marriage. And so therefore you sacrifice it because you're blind to its value. Esau simply didn't value it as he should have. Can you say amen? Now it may sound ridiculous that Esau would fall for such a plan of trading a bowl of stew for a birthright. But see, Jacob knew that not only would it benefit Jacob, but it would benefit his whole household. See, that's what you got to have, a Jacob view. What I'm doing is going, I understand that my life, everybody says, well, it's my life. Well, I'm sorry, baby. It affects more people than just you. My life affects my children. It affects my wife. It affects my friends. And now it affects 700-800 people in the church. Because if the devil could get me to fall, if the devil can get me to mess up, if the devil. No, I value my future. And therefore, I'm going to protect it by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to protect what God has put in my life. You may do the same thing if you forfeit the things that are really important, such as your relationship with God or your family, for something temporary that has little value or little eternal sense. Well, I want to be happy right now. Baby, that's going to fade. Well, I just want right now. No, that's called self-gratification, instant gratification. That's going to fade. How many's bought something you wish you hadn't bought? Yeah, baby. It's called buyer's remorse. Number two, don't sacrifice the future for your appetite. Whatever that appetite might be. Well, but Pastor, I like younger women. Well, you ain't wired for it, baby. Now, you know, we say, well, that's right, Pastor. You preach to them men. No, I'm talking to women too. Hallelujah. Hey, I know I'm not fit anymore. I don't want my wife looking. I'm in shape. Round is a shape. And she told me the other day, I got out of the shower. She said, baby, you got the body of a god. I said, thank you. She said, Buddha. A person who is ruled, I want you to hear me, a person who is ruled by his appetite rather than the Spirit of God will always be in danger of sacrificing his future. If you're ruled by your appetite, if you're ruled by what you want, if you're ruled, I just want to be, I've just put everybody else ahead of me and I just shut up. Had a guy, I've told this story many years ago, the guy was 27 years old, had three kids, and told me, I'm just tired of working. I said, better get used to it, Doc. He didn't want to work anymore. I said, you want to be a man? Then be a man. Well, go to work. Hear me, church. You can't check out just because you're tired of it. God didn't rest on the seventh day because he was tired. He rested on the seventh day because he was finished. See, you got to rest when you're finished. Come on, somebody. Esau could have easily have taken the time to fix his own bowl of stew, but he was ruled by his immediate hunger. He was ruled by the now. That's the problem. We want it now. And I'm going to tell you, American Express and Visa and MasterCard make it real easy to get it now. 90 days, same as cash. The statistics are 88% of people never pay it off in 90 days. And that's what they're banking on. This is one of Satan's most powerful ways of enslaving you. You're hungry, you're thirsty, or lonely, and Satan shows you a virtually instantaneous way to seemingly satisfy your most pressing need. You ever wondered how you hooked up with that person? You didn't see all the signs. But Pastor, now I'm married. Well, now we got to deal with it. I ain't telling you. I ain't saying you can leave them now. You marry. You done do it before God. I make a covenant. So we got to deal with it. But we make instant choices based on our need at that moment. We make foolish decisions, which has terrible consequences and leaves you feeling more empty than it was before you made the decision. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you're lonely. How many times have I seen men and women because they were lonely? That I just want somebody. You can have somebody, but if you get the wrong somebody, you're in a world of hurt. Again, if you're married and you're struggling, just keep your eyes right up here. Because it's a world of hurt when you're lonely. And I understand that. And listen to me, especially you married people, do not say to somebody who is single, you do not say, well, let Jesus be your husband. Let Jesus be your wife. Shut up. Nobody wants to hear that. Because everybody wants some Jesus with some skin on him. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching to somebody. Had you been listening to the Holy Spirit, you would have known that that was not the right route to take. Number three, don't sacrifice your future to have what you want right now. I got to have it. Immediate gratification is your enemy because it impedes you from enjoying the many blessings God has for you. We say yes to the right now, but we didn't wait on God. And now it impedes us from doing what God's called us to do because we've already said yes. Listen, if you have to have something right now, what you're really saying, I want you to hear me, what you're really saying is that you're wiser than God about what you need. I got to have it right now. I got to have it right now, God. You just don't understand. How many's ever said that to the Lord? I have. I'll be the first to tell you. I've said that to God. Lord, you just don't understand. You're God. He's like, I made you, so yeah, I think I do understand. Lord, you just don't understand what I'm going through. The Bible said that Jesus took on human form so he could experience what you and I experience. So he knows what you're feeling and he knows what you're going through. And he knows how to sustain you through whatever it is that you're going through. See, sometimes you aren't ready for the blessing that God has for you. And you won't be able to handle it. That's why he's got to wait. Well, Pastor, I'm just waiting for Mr. or Miss Wright. Well, are you right? Maybe the problem. See, listen, my children. I'm ready for, you know, they're. I've told them. I said, listen, the man that God is getting ready for you girls, he's gonna have to be something. He's gonna have to be something. Why? Because I have showed them what a real man's supposed to look like. Pastor, that's arrogance. Babe Ruth said it ain't arrogance if you can back it up. Babe Ruth said he wasn't bragging if you could back it up. They ain't had to go nowhere looking for love in all the wrong places. I'm going to give them all the love they can handle, baby. So when they meet the right man and meet the right person, then they're going to know what real love looks like because they've been getting it from their father all of their life. Excuse me. Thank you. Number four, don't sacrifice your future for the temporal. What's going to last? The purpose of this message is to protect you against bad decisions that could ruin your life. And you need to consider what it is that is enticing you to give up God's best. What is it? A fling? A fling? A toss in the hay? A habit? Drugs? A friendship? What is it that's caught? What is it that's enticing you? Well, I just haven't looked out for myself. What is it enticing you? Is the temptation before you for your temporary use, or does it have eternal values? Boy, that's strong right there. Does it have eternal values? What do you mean? What is it going to matter in 10 years? That's what I'm. Is it still going to be there? What is it enticing you? Never sacrifice your future for things that won't last. Well, that's why I'm not getting married. That's not what I'm talking about. Never sacrifice your future for things that don't last. Too many people forfeit eternal life that God offers them because they're addicted to the temporary things of this world. I'm going to tell you something, baby. You know, we could pass this microphone around, and people have tried all kind of things to fill the void in their life, but unless Jesus is what you're filling the void with, it's never going to fit, because inside of your soul, inside of your being, there is an empty Jesus hole that only Jesus can fill, and if you try to fill it with anything else, it just won't fit, and it just won't last. Now, let me talk to those of us who are saved. I've been saved for 32, 33 years now, but I've still come by to tell you that I still occasionally have to go back to Calvary and go back to the cross and get another dose of the Ghost and still go back to where God is and let God refill me and redig the wells that I once dug. What does that mean? That means, baby, I still got to date my wife. That means I still got to buy her things. I still got to surprise her. Come on, somebody. And I still got to date Jesus. What? That's what you heard me. I still got to engage Jesus. You can't be like the old man that got married and they went to marriage counseling and they said, "What's wrong?" And the woman said, "He never tells me he loves me." And the old man says, "I told you I loved you when I married you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know." That's not keeping it alive, baby. That's not keeping... My wife wants me to tell her constantly, always, "I love you, baby." And listen, let me go one step further. You can get in the habit of just going, "I love you, I love you, I love you." You ever hung up with somebody you didn't love and say, "I love you"? Amen. I hung up with the power company. Love you. I don't even know. But you get in a habit. That's why you got to make sure that you have good habits, but you got to make sure that there's some substance behind the habit. We come to church. We sing the same songs, and we say, "Oh, I like the beat of that one. Oh, ooh, yeah, come on. Ooh. Oh, yeah." Come on, yeah, thank you. And you get in the habit of worshiping the music instead of the man behind the music and the person we're supposed to be worshiping. So from time to time, you just got to come and get along with God. And you just got to get refreshed with Him. And that's what this 21 days of prayer and fasting is all about. It's the time to get refocused. It's the time to rekindle that love and that fervor and that passion with Jesus. Don't make the mistake. See, they're seeking out the pleasure of the moment, never thinking of the eternity that looms ahead. Don't make the mistake. Number five, don't sacrifice the future when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Woo! Listen to me. I tell everybody who loses a spouse, who loses a loss, who loses tragedy, don't make any decisions for the next year. No major decisions for the next year. You need to make, because you'll make a mistake if you're not careful. Never make a, listen, because you live on a budget, but you go to Walmart grocery shopping when you're hungry. You pick up stuff you didn't even think about. You pick up stuff you don't even like. You be walking around the grocery store with a bag of open chips. With a bag of open, double-stuffed Oreo cookies. Come on, somebody. Snicker bar, whatever. You know, you'll be walking around. How about when you're angry? How about when you're lonely? Well, I know they're not the right one, but I'm just tired. Listen, whoo, come on. I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for this or not. But my wife, before me, dated a little boy. She knew wasn't the one for her, but she was just tired of being lonely, and she almost missed out on the good thing. Come on, somebody. She almost missed out on what? Woo! But thank God she had a good enough sense to kick him to the curb when I come around. But anyway, that's right, Kirk. That's what I said. When you're lonely, when you're tired. Listen, my wife, when I get tired, my secretary sitting over here, she calls Becky. Don't let him counsel nobody. He needs to take a ride. As a matter of fact, my wife and my child told me just the other day, Daddy, you need a ride. I said, it's the new year. I don't need no ride. She goes, oh, yeah, you need to go riding. Just because somebody cut me off. No, they didn't cut me off. They cut somebody else off. And I got so mad, I thought I ought to pull in there and just slap them. I know y'all don't do that. I know. Y'all just pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Woo. I went to the bank the other day, and the woman looked at me, gave me a little sarcastic little comment. I'm getting mad thinking about it right now. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You don't do that when you're tired. You can't be making major decisions. Don't sacrifice your future because you're tired. Don't sacrifice your future because you're lonely, because you're angry, or because you're hungry. See, we call it my house, people get hangry. A little girl over there, if you don't feed her, it ain't good. She's just like a mama. But her mama said, oh, my sugar dropped. And I go, oh, I heard it drop. I heard your sugar drop, baby. See, the devil knows that when you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, when you're tired, that you're at your most vulnerable spot. It's a trick of the enemy. It is a trick. When you're physically and emotionally weak, when you're physically and emotionally weary. Listen, but what do you got to do? When you're in the halt position. When you're in the halt position, you better halt. When you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, when you're tired, when you're in that, Satan takes advantage of your exhausted defenses and convinces you that you have an excuse to do wrong. It tells you, the devil don't ever talk to y'all, I know that. He just talks to me, he has a monopoly on it. He tells me, you deserve this. You deserve this. Nobody knows the troubles you've seen. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what you go through. Everybody just thinks you just work on 2 days a week, just half a day on Sunday and a little bit on Wednesday. That's the only time you work. Nobody knows. You deserve this. Am I talking to anybody? However, you got to understand and remember that you reap what you sow. That you reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow. Glory to God. The more you give into your feelings of weakness and look for the ways to fill your needs apart from God, the more you reap terrible consequences of it. Everybody wants to talk about your circumstances. Everybody wants to talk about your consequence or what happened to you. Why don't we talk about your decisions? Number 6, don't sacrifice your future out of disrespect for spiritual things. You and I are to live by the Bible because it's God's instruction book for your life, for our life. Well, but Pastor, it's so irrelevant. Bull, this Bible is still relevant. It is still the way of success. It still teaches you how to have a good family, a good home. It teaches you how to be a good man, a good woman, how to be a good wife, a good husband, a good brother, a good sister, a good friend. It still teaches you how to be a good employee or a good employer. It teaches you how to do that. You just got to read it. You see, it provides answers and encouragement for every challenge you face and every question you have. If you lay God's wisdom and God's word aside and give in to this world's immoral, materialistic thinking, church, then you're going to be in real trouble. You think they got it? Look at Hollywood. Really? That's what you want to be? I want to be famous. I would rather be whole. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? That's why we must read the Bible and ask God to show us his will through it so that we will be have a fruitful life. See, that's what I want, man. I just want to have a fruitful life. Amen. Number seven is this. Don't sacrifice the future because you fail to consider the consequences. Don't sacrifice the future because you failed to consider the consequences. You got to always consider the future consequences of whatever you're doing. What's going to come of this? What's going to happen? You know, I look back here and I see Elisha, and Elisha's they're a tree removal company, and there's no way that he just goes out there and cuts the tree. Pow! Hits the house. Oh, I didn't see that coming. That doesn't cut it. You caught that pun? Yeah. That doesn't work, man. No, but he looks at the tree. And I don't know what all goes into it, but he looks the way it's leaning. Sees if he's got to put pressure on it. Makes a certain cut on a certain side to make it go a certain way. Because he's considering the consequences of when he cuts this, of how it's going to go. He's bringing physics into it, and he doesn't have a calculator, probably. I don't know if you do or not, but you're looking at it, and you go, if I make this type of cut, it's going to go this way, and if I do this, it's going to do that, and if I do this, it's going to pinch the blade, or whatever the case may be, and so I've got to cut it this way because I know that there is a consequence to consider. Don't make foolish decisions about temporary pleasure that will cost you the rest of your life. Samson forfeited his leadership of Israel and his effectiveness for God to please Delilah, a woman serving the Philistines. David killed Uriah the Hittite and sinned against God to satisfy his lust over Bathsheba. Judas sacrificed Jesus for his own political goals and ended up committing suicide because of it. Every day, people make foolish decisions that they regret terribly because they never thought about the consequences. And any decision that brings you pleasure for the moment but costs you for the rest of your life is a foolish one. Now, hindsight's 20/20. I understand that. But what God is saying, before you make those decisions, step back and look at it. He'll give you 20/20. God has the ability to give you 20/20. But the problem is you got to slow down. You know, when I took that crew up to Panama City to help cut some trees and different things, and I'm not as skillful as Elisha is in cutting the trees, so I would look at it and I would figure and I would keep looking at it. But every time before I made the cut, I would go, Lord, help me make the right decision. I would say, God, let the integrity of my heart be my defense. God, help me. And to God be the glory, we didn't make a wrong cut. Everything that we did was right. And I'm not skilled at it. What are you saying? I'm telling you that God can lead you. And God can guide you in everyday decisions if you listen to Him. If you ask Him for it. Whenever, whatever is keeping you from accepting Jesus. Is it materialism? Is it immortality? Is immortality so important to you that you just don't want to give it? To give them up. Whatever stands between you and God will lead you to eternal destruction. Don't make the biggest mistake of your life, which is rejecting Christ. Rather, be wise and ask God to forgive you. Rather, ask Him to come into your life. Believe that Christ's death on the cross paid your sin. Accept Him as Savior. Believe that He died for you. Confess with your mouth. And the Bible says you shall be saved. Protect your future by asking Jesus not only to be your Savior, but to be your Lord. To be your Lord. There are so many decisions that I have to ask God on. Pastor, you're a little radical. No, I don't want to make any major decisions without God. I don't want to make small decisions without God. Now, listen, I understand Pentecostals, I am one. They can be the weirdest people on the planet. Lord, do you want me to wash the dishes today? Yes! Wash the stinking dishes. Lord, do you want me to clean the house? Yes! Clean the stinking house. Lord, do you want me to go to work? Trust me, he does. Lord, do you want me to divorce my spouse? No, he doesn't. But if you'll ask him, he said he'll show you. If you ask him, he'll do it. Protect your future. This next 21 days, man, don't just go on a diet. But see, if you take something away, but don't put something in its place, then it's still not the fast that God wants you to have. Take something away and put God in that place. Put Jesus in that place. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. But if you want to accept him as your Savior, would you just slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. Anybody in this room?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.